Hi, Sue. How are you?
Well, thanks, Suleka. How are you? Are you on a cordless phone?
No, I'm not on the cordless phone. Okay, I know why you asked me that question. Okay. As we all know, Sue is a product developer, and she has written two books. And today we're going to be talking about radiation. And generally, every one of us, one way or the other, is affected by radiation. So I'm going to start with Sue. What are electronic magnetic fields why should we be concerned about them, should I say?
Yes, well, the electronic fields we're talking about are things that children nowadays grow up with, cell phones and baby monitors even,
yes,
and computers and televisions and even radios. They go to the dentist and they have x-rays. And we walk through these scanners, you know, when on entrances to security areas, we go through that thing that x-rays you.
Yeah.
It beeps if you've got keys in your pocket. All these are forms of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
And to the degree that we're using more and more gadgets, we've discovered that we are getting more and more diseases that are falling into various categories that we think now are common ailments. But it's not common to go and have a brain tumor and die of a heart attack and get cancer. It's actually not a natural form of illness. So do you think, Zuleika, there is a connection to all our electromagnetic radiation systems or not?
There definitely is, because as you just mentioned, yeah, very sinister. And what surprised me is when you even spoke about the baby monitor.
Well, the baby monitor's got the same harmful frequency as a cell phone.
Yes.
And we've discovered that the laptop computers and the portable phones we've got and the microwave ovens and the baby monitors have all got something in common. And that is that their frequency and their wavelength is very similar to that of water. Now, when a human body contains 98% water, our cells are basically little bags of water. They are very sensitive to vibrations. And these vibrations are very close to the ideal vibration of water, but they disrupt it. So that's scientifically how it is actually damaging the cells, and it's in fact damaging DNA.
Oh.
That's something we don't really understand until we realize that there's an increase in the rate of brain tumors to the extent that people hold phones against their head. It makes you three times more vulnerable to damage inside your brain.
Yes.
Now that's scary, isn't it?
Very. So at the moment, we're currently on a 4G system, and I'm sure this is even more harmful to us. Would you like to elaborate?
It is. It's not innocent, and don't think just because we're, you know, being forced into the G5 era,
mm-hmm,
that it's any more or less harmful. They both are equally harmful. And damage right now is being done whether you like it or not. Even where I'm sitting on a cordless phone and I've got a link to the internet, all these things are letting off vibrations, frequencies. Now, we can't see them or touch them or smell them or feel them. So we think, oh, they're not there. But mm-hmm, they are there. And they are emitting these frequencies. And we don't connect the two together when we come home from work and we've been on the computer all day. Why we feel tired? Why have we got a headache? Why are there aches and pains? We don't connect the two together. But when you've been out in the fresh air all day and you've been far away from any of these towers or electromagnetic fields, you do feel different.
Yes, your immune system.
I
had actually interviewed someone and he said if you spend a day in the forest, you know, with all these trees and things, it's actually going to improve your immune system by about 1 or 2 months. You know, so now because there's no electromagnetic fields.
And I think most of us have even forgotten about the outside and the grounding effect that the earth has.
Yes.
And as you know, that's when you have your regular prayer sessions and mm-hmm, bow down.
Yes.
And touch the earth.
Yes.
It's part of the grounding system.
Yes.
It's by no coincidence that sort of thing is set up in our lives to keep us grounded.
Yes.
It's getting more and more, worrisome about how children are growing up not only with a baby monitor, or parents put the little mobile phones in the crib and they play little songs to the children. They're irradiating these children from a very young age, and their skull bone isn't as thick as ours, sorry to say it. Yes. It's much more sensitive to these vibrations. So the children are growing up with strange disorders that our grandmothers didn't have. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's genetically different about us, but I do know that we are more exposed to Wi-Fi frequencies, and there's a higher rate of autism amongst children. There's a higher rate of concentration and attention deficit problems.
Yes. Sue, I just want to, you spoke about autism. I had seen a video, and this doctor was, he was talking to a group of people, and he said that for the first 2 years of your child's life, don't give them cell phone or laptops or even put them in front of the TV, because that's where autism comes from.
Very true. It's half true. Mm-hmm. Autism, there are various aspects to it.
Yeah, but what he says, it increases it or...
Yeah, so a child with a potential or a genetic vulnerability towards that way will get far worse with all these gadgets. Mm-hmm. And if we're not looking at them, we only look at the cure as being drugs that are like Ritalin and an amphetamine. Now, why are you giving an amphetamine drug to somebody who's been irradiated? Mm-hmm. And that's why the brain is disturbed and it can't settle down. So us two old grannies now have to put everything back into perspective and say, well, back in the day when we were children, we didn't have so much of these problems. Mm-hmm. And what we didn't have is, oh, shame, we didn't have television. No, but we had imaginations. We had storybooks. We had mud to play with, forests to run around in. And that's why our brains had a big advantage in growing up. But here and now, we have to be practical about the world we live in. And you're finding people with hormonal problems, with sleep disorders. Now, the biggest thing with sleep disorders is that these wavelengths disrupt the melatonin in your body, mm-hmm. which is your sleep hormone. It's also the hormone that helps to protect you from cancer. Mm-hmm. So if your melatonin is being disturbed all the time, that is actually what's happening with your pituitary gland or your pineal gland. They're going out of balance, and then so are you. So mm-hmm. you run off to your psychiatrist and you get some more medications, right? mm-hmm. But you don't realize that in your bedroom, you've got something with a blue light shining all night.
Yes.
And that is the main thing that destroys the melatonin, working with those blue lights. So please, if you've got a blue monitor light in your bedroom and you can't switch off whatever it's monitoring, please cover up the blue light.
Okay.
Just get some black cardboard and tape it over that light. But don't let any blue light shine continuously. They're far more dangerous than any of the other colors. And that's because, as you know, each color has a different vibration.
Okay, well, I'm in front of the microphone and there's a blue light here.
Oh, isn't there supposed to be a red light on when you're recording and broadcasting?
No, there's a blue light.
Oh, there used to be a red light in the days when I was in the studio.
Sue, I just want to say there's a study that was done about with 285,000 cell phones users. And what was the outcome of that study?
Well, they found the people who they studied their habits, and they said, well, what do you do with your cell phone? No, we don't work with speaker phones. We don't work with cordless. We slap it to our ear and we talk. Mm-hmm. And it's actually very dangerous to speak on a cell phone for more than half an hour a day. That's a lot, you know. That mm-hmm. is a lot. And I don't like to speak Wi-Fi or hands-free or anything else like that. So I just don't use a cell phone. Mm-hmm. I've got a landline. Like I'm talking to you now on my landline. Although it's a cordless phone, it's a landline. And for the rest, if people want to talk to me, they can send me an email or they can send an SMS to my husband's phone because I don't possess a mobile phone. As such, if you measured my rate of vulnerability to brain tumors and brain cancer, you'd find that there's virtually no risk. Mm-hmm. But not all of us can live with that inconvenience. So they find that the people who clamp the phone to their head and speak on it most of the day are 3 times more likely to get a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. And that's no joke. You know, these things grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And then there's also a lot of other damage that happens. we're going to have to explain how all these things unfold bit by bit, because I think we're all very confused about how the radiation works. But we're already sitting ducks for certain diseases because of the way we eat, the way we live, the stress factors, as we've often mentioned, and the toxicity of the heavy metal particles in our bodies from the fillings and the pollution in the air, and also the parasites. All these things are buzzing around our bodies, but the brain is protected from them with a special layer of cells that are tightly packed together. It's called the epithelial brain cells. It forms. It's like the riot control of the police. You know, they all hold hands and they've got shields, mm-hmm. and they keep the crowds at bay.
Yeah.
So your brain right now is being protected, or should be protected, from the onslaught of toxic metals. And with the whole heavy metal poisoning comes in certain particles of those metals are conductive, they're electroconductive. So they're going to play games with you when you put electromagnetic frequencies through the body and through the water. The toxic particles are going to play along and make the damage worse. But they're kept out of the brain by this barrier of epithelial cells called the blood-brain barrier.
Okay.
As long as you are not clapping a cell phone to your head.
Okay.
Or any other device. Or putting a baby monitor next to the baby's pillow. You're opening up their brain so that any toxins that are floating around in the body's waste systems and the elimination channels, and where all the old parasites and toxins and heavy metals are hanging around, and even the gluten mm-hmm. particles, they now sail straight into the brain. And the glutamate, you know, the monosodium glutamate, they're all saying now,
yes.
it's such a terrible poison. Well, the body actually makes monosodium glutamate, but the brain does not allow it into the neurons of the brain cells. It actually makes its own for a short time just to create a synapse. But you should never get any MSG into a normal human brain. Mm-hmm. When the blood brain is open, it's called a leaky brain.
Okay.
Now, you know, we've got leaky gut problems.
Yes.
You know, where antigens and particles and toxins leak into the bloodstream. And then we get autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, thyroid, toxic thyroid, or appendicitis. All these things are coming from toxins that shouldn't be there around the organs. So you've got a leaky brain and you've got a leaky gut. So mm-hmm. inside the leaky brain, in go all the heavy metals, and they disrupt your neurons. And some of them actually kill nerve cells. And once the nerve cell is killed, it spills over its glutamate content and it kills the next cell and the next cell. And that's basically how neuropathy works,
okay.
where you suddenly have dead fingers and dead toes and you say, I don't know where this is coming from. Okay, how many hours a day do you spend on the cell phone? Well, I've just had a lot of arguments with people and, ooh, yes, I've had rather a bad week. I've spent a few hours a day on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's just allowing you to be vulnerable to all the stuff that's supposed to be pumped out of your body. It's now being pumped into your brain.
Yes.
And this is where it's all happening. And this mm-hmm. is why you're getting more and more people with brain tumors.
Sue, let's just move on to what is so different about 5G?
Well, between the 4G and the 5G, we've got physical characteristics. They're different shape wavelengths. Now, everybody's saying 5G is going to transform the world because, you know, on your mobile, you can download a movie, but it takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But with the 5G system, you can download a whole movie in a few split seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, please. We used to take a pack of popcorn and go to the movies. So if you're downloading a movie, go wash the dishes and then watch it. Why has it got to be now, now, now?
Mm-hmm.
And to make that possible, you know, the cell phone towers we've got are bad enough.
Yes.
Because they also vibrate at the same frequency as the water mm-hmm. cells in our body. They disrupt us. The closer you live to a cell phone tower, the G4 one,
mm-hmm.
the more vulnerable you are. So now comes the G5,
mm-hmm.
and they want them every 300 meters apart.
Ooh.
You look out your window, and you'll see it. You'd be able to see towers all around you, G5 towers.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is that they continuously emit this frequency, mm-hmm. whether you're on the phone or not, whether mm-hmm. you've got your gadget switched on or not. They continuously pump this disrupting vibration into the air. And it's a different frequency. It's a very low frequency, and it has to have boosters all the time. But as I said, because it's on continuously, the effects, they're very, very quiet about the adverse effects of them. But if you just follow the notes that I've given you with this talk, after it's been downloaded, you'll see the problem is mainly not only with us. The G5 has been designed to make machines work, for all the systems, for all the data handling, for all the microprocessing that goes on and on and on. It's all almost like robotic. And it's for the sake of those gadgets that we're having G5, not for our benefit.
Yes.
You see.
And of course it's going
to
affect...
It's got a lot to do with dying patients, hasn't it?
Yes. And also it's going to affect birds and bees, and you know
that's the very point.
Sad, yeah.
The continuous frequency, you can look around you even now, mm-hmm. even with the G4 tower, they say birds that nest too close to our FM towers, mm-hmm. our microwave towers, they lay eggs, and the wavelengths actually penetrate the eggshell and they irradiate what's inside the egg, so the eggs don't hatch. And that's why there are not so many sparrows around anymore, especially in Europe in these more sophisticated areas. Mm-hmm. The birds just aren't able to reproduce anymore mm-hmm. because the eggs are being microwaved. Lovely. It's sad. And the bees, you know, for me it's such a joy to, A, see a few flowers and then see some bees on them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas bees are always around us. They're whole orchards. Where the bees aren't fertilizing the fruit trees anymore. We have all the bees gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've had interviews with people who say, prophetically, that the day there are no more bees on earth, life cannot be supported on earth.
Yeah, I have heard that.
You've heard that, and I mean, it's very scary. But in,
yes.
you know, when we were children, again, I'm always harping back to the good old frequency-free days, where the most dangerous thing in the sky was the sun. If you stayed out in the sun too long, you got a bit of sunburn, you know. Some people got skin cancer because they used to lie in the sun for days on end. That's also a form of radiation.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, now we don't even think about that. We just put on a sunscreen. Mm-hmm. But what are we going to do about all these microwaves?
Yeah. Let's start with the cell phone. What can we do to lessen the harmful effects right now from our 4G cell phones?
Well, as you know, I think we've all got too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Too many of us have too many of them, and there aren't enough valid reasons why you have to start using them from a very early age. So I think first make an age barrier, the rule, as you said, for the first 2 years of our life. Well, I'd say, why are grade one school children carrying cell phones? And the logical answer is, yes, so that mommy can tell them she's going to be late or if there's a change in arrangements or this or that. We feel safer if our child takes a cell phone to work. It's a valid reason.
Mm-hmm.
But what are the children doing with those gadgets?
Yeah.
What is whipped out under the school desk? I don't know if you confiscate all the phones.
You know, Sue... every second, if they can be on their phone, they'd love to be, the earphone listening to music. It seems, we have certain rules in place, but when they are at break, etc., then they are on their phones.
Mm. And the social implications of that, if they won't sit and talk to each other, if you see two people sitting next to each other, they'll pull out a thing and start staring at a little screen. They won't say, hello, how are you? Do you mind if I sit here? It's a lovely day.
Yeah.
They immediately start, oh, let's see what this person said and let's see what the other person said. So that's what goes on. And again, every time they're interacting with that little thing, they are opening up their blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So even an older school child, you have to limit the hours. You have to ration. They have to be on rationing. So one way I would do it is very cunning, is saying let them buy the phone time out of their pocket money.
Yes.
But most of them will go and find a hotspot anywhere to get as much of the stuff as they can and stare at that screen and irradiate themselves on a continuous basis. So where would the age limit come in? So what all I could suggest to parents is that they make a rule that the child is only allowed to switch on the phone at 12 o'clock, say, every day, just to check what the lift arrangements are. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to communicate with your child or the child wants to communicate with the parents, send a WhatsApp or an SMS and just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
And then once a day or maybe twice a day or three times a day, just check to see what the feedback is. Do you really have to communicate more than that with mm-hmm. each of the people in your groups?
Yeah, and you if know, it's an emergency, I mean, you can always contact the school.
Exactly, and the teacher can come and say, look, your mom's in a traffic jam or this or that. Because, you know, here in Cape Town, it's touch and go. Which road is open? Where aren't they burning tires today? They keep burning out all the traffic lights. And then you've got this wonderful free-for-all at every crossing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes during rush hour, the moms are delayed in fetching their children.
Mm-hmm.
So it's understandable they'd like to let people know.
Mm-hmm.
But is that a reason why your child has got your old model of cell phone in their school bag, it's switched on all the time, and it's distracting them from their schoolwork, and it's actually making them ill? So avoidance is the first thing we have to look at. And we also have to discipline ourselves and keep an example. And it's like saying to an alcoholic, stop drinking.
Mm.
There is such an addiction to your cell phone and your relationship with it, and to everybody else through that gadget. Tell me if you could get through a day without it in your handbag.
It does.
We should have an anti-mobile day and see how many people can get through a whole day without having that little gadget on them. And then again, with the avoidance and the age restriction, the other thing is the time restriction. And at home, at night, a very good bit of advice I found was they said keep it in airplane mode, in flight mode.
Okay.
And that means it can't receive or send out, so it's not letting out any harmful emissions.
Okay, and that's a good idea, and I'm sure
it
you
is
can
a good
put
idea. And
because
don't
normally
next to the thing.
Normally the cell phone is also used as an alarm, so you know, I think in airplane mode you will be probably be able to get your alarm. I'm sure.
But people can still leave an SMS or whatever. But it doesn't send out those emissions. That's why on an aeroplane you have to put it in airplane mode.
Yes.
Because isn't that proving that the wavelengths are disruptive, even to the aeroplane's navigation system?
Sue, you also spoke about the EMF shielded cell phone case.
There are various screens and shields that people use. You know, when you go onto the internet and they're about, oh, this little gadget is this and this little one does that, people may buy a Lucky Charm and stick it on their cell phone and think it's safe. And they're there until you really thoroughly investigate which one is reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Rather avoid.
Okay.
Or if you've got the device on, still take enough precautions. So within the avoidance thing, there's also then the shielding and the blocking devices we can get hold of. And I'm not really happy with any of them.
Okay.
And we'll have to have a talk at a further stage where we can evaluate these things properly with good scientific frequency meters. And, you know, I don't know how you're going to get around wearing a Lucky Charm and thinking it's going to protect you from the radiation. It can modify the effects thereof, but it is not going to block it from you, because if it blocks it from you, you can't answer your phone.
Yes.
I don't know if your children have ever done the experiment with the tinfoil. You wrap your phone in tinfoil, and then you try and you phone it from another phone. It won't ring.
Oh, okay.
That's about the ultimate of how you block a radiation. You shouldn't be able to hear the phone ring.
Okay.
So we're in a difficult situation of how much do you block out with these devices? How do you test them? How do you know they work?
Mm-hmm.
And just because they come from a far-off country and they're an exorbitant price, I would not stake my life on it right now.
Okay.
And I can share with you the reason why is that the people who are exposed all day long to Wi-Fi frequencies, regardless of using these devices, are suffering more and more from gastrointestinal problems, the leaky gut syndrome, right? They're suffering far more from lung problems, heart problems, brain problems, even using these devices. I know of people right now who've got irritable bowel syndrome, who are wired to their desk, and yet they've got all these trinkets around them. It's not helping the condition of their leaky guts or their leaky brains.
So before we end, there's just a few minutes, very quickly, are there natural remedies we can take for treating and preventing radiation exposure?
The remedies we can take are all very basic and very logical, in that because we're so full of toxins and parasites and everything else, and they're going in and out of the blood-brain barrier, every day we need to do some housework in terms of warding off the heavy metals, killing the parasites, keeping our pH more alkaline, and that is the most basic one, is these electromagnetic frequencies disrupt your body's functioning pH. And we aren't all alkaline everywhere in our body. You know, we have an intensely acidic stomach, for instance, and then a very alkaline small intestine, and then a slightly acidic big intestine. All those pH levels have to be monitored. And when they're disrupted by this broadband onslaught of radiation, when the pH has got out of kilter, it's because we are lacking in calcium and magnesium, and they say activated charcoal, all the alkalizing and energy balancing elements in our body, potassium especially. Those electrolytes and base minerals have to be replaced, and we need more of them. To the extent you're going to irradiate yourself, you need more calcium, more magnesium, more vitamins, and especially the sort of radiation we get from dentists and x-ray machines, the ionizing radiation. We have to look at iodine. And, you know, the amount of cancer that's around now is basically demonstrating to us there is a terrible iodine deficiency. Mm-hmm. To the extent that you can protect yourself from radioactivity by taking in potassium iodide, you're going to protect yourself, your brain, your thyroid, and yourself from cancer. So radiation is getting through due to our deficiencies of minerals. They say you can't give a rat cancer if it has a good iodine status. So okay. We have spoken about iodine.
Yes.
It's worth doing a homework there. And as you know, we always talk about Lugol's iodine.
Yes.
And a practical way of taking Lugol's iodine, they're drops of brown liquid. Put a few drops on brewer's yeast tablets. Mm-hmm. And they say that brewer's yeast is a great way to neutralize the radiation in your body. So if you put a drop of iodine on each of your brewer's yeast tablets, let it dry. Take one of those every day. Take your calcium and magnesium at night. And then also add a lot more antioxidants to your body every day. What are the antioxidants? Come in the fresh fruit and vegetables, don't they?
Yes.
Vitamin C and vitamin E. Mm-hmm. And the essential fatty acids help
you
rebuild the blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So all our basic supplementation becomes even more important now with the radiation. And it's more important to do regular house cleaning. So that you don't go off like a toxic bomb one day. And I've had friends where I've seen this happen, where they, every day walking up and down the road, cell phone clapped to their ear, and I could never make the connection why this one guy just keeled over and had a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
Until I realized that there's a build-up inside the body where the nitric acid in our body is one of our neurotransmitters, and when that gets disrupted, it affects the heart. It affects the lungs, right? It affects the gut membrane. And when people die in hospital and they do a specific post-mortem, they will find more and more levels of irradiated nitric oxide in the body. So there it is. We can every day do something about neutralizing those toxins. Some people use carbon filters in their water. Some people even ingest activated charcoal. Really, it does help. It does help.
So the activated charcoal will actually neutralize the radiation?
It helps. Okay. You know, nothing's going to be a one-off. We have to use a multifaceted attack, and we have to look after our nutrients, especially the antioxidants, especially the oil-based ones, the omega-3s, mm-hmm. to try and rebuild and fix that blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm. So which ones would you say is the most important, you know, to start immediately? Because there's so many. I mean, you said calcium,
magnesium. If you want to increase your potassium uptake, you know, we always like the bargain Betty style. The cheapest way of getting potassium into your body is to use your cream of tartar from the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And you can add that to a calcium and magnesium supplement. And you can even put little bits of it into your drinking water and drink that throughout the day. Mm-hmm. That's a very practical way of doing it. As I said, the iodine, put drops of iodine onto brewer's yeast tablets. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're not only doing this to fight off radiation simulacra. Yeah. These are just the basic building blocks of good, sound health. They come from the vitamins that we need every day. You know, you've got the water-based vitamins that you have to replace regularly, and the best way of replacing them in a natural way would be with your fruits and your vegetables and your healthy food. And now we know that G5 is even going to irradiate our tomatoes and our lemons and our vitamin C, isn't it? So even our food sources are going to be messed up if we have G5. Mm-hmm. So again, do your normal good nutrition and do it, you know, twice as intensely as you normally do, and try and eliminate the heavy metals in your body. Try and get some of those mercury fillings out of your mouth. It's not so much the mercury, but within the amalgam are electroconductive metals like the silver and the copper.
So what those about those people that have like bridges, or they have,
Yeah, that's all the more broadcasting you can do from your mouth. Titanium, titanium implants. You know, we've got these metals, but titanium is not such a toxic metal. It's not what you'd call a heavy metal. And in some cases, it's unavoidable. But the main one was the old-fashioned metal amalgam. That was the menace. Okay. It really was.
Sue, we have gone past our time, and I think the next presenter is waiting to come in, so we'll have to just say goodbye to you, and we'll probably have to talk about this again, because it is such a fascinating but scary topic.
It is fascinating and scary. Well, once the talk has been loaded, it will be available at least by tonight or tomorrow, because Anton's very patiently helped me through all this. He's helped me with a lot of the research and cast his expert eye over everything. Please read the notes. Yeah. You can listen to the talk again. As I said, this is just scratching on the surface. And yes. I hope it has scared you, because it is scary stuff.
Yes. So you will be able
to... I hope you've enjoyed the talk.
Thank you. You will be able to listen to this on www.naturefresh.co.za because Sue uploads the talks that she has with me. And hopefully it will, if you missed something, you will be able to listen to it, and also she will have notes available, and the notes will also have some links. What I do want to end up with, fairly scary, put your cell phone on flight mode and do something every day. Take your potassium, and a good tip she gave us was cream of tartar, iodine, brewer's yeast, all those things that are going to help you, your vitamin D, omega-3 oils, and stay protected, and don't give your children the cell phones at a very early age, and guide them how to use it. And I'd like to just say shukran to Hafiz and Iksana.
Shukran, everybody. Otherwise, go live in a forest, hey?
Yes, yes. Thank you from my side, and thank you, Sue. And from Ms. Leka Amod, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Shukran. Goodbye.